The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 65, The Damned Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
Ruthie!
Yep, that's my name.
She's back!
Oh, my.
It's been a long time.
Yep. And in case you can't tell by listening, I have been under the weather.
Yeah, that's why you couldn't do the episode last week. And unfortunately, you're still under the weather, but you're being a trooper tonight. And yeah. Hopefully you'll feel better by next week. Anyway, we are here to discuss Season 8, Episode 2, which is titled The Damned. Which is written by Matthew Negrete and Channing Powell and directed by Rosemary Rodriguez. All right. And now it's time to hear Shane say,
"There's a couple weird stories on the news."
I don't really have too much to say about this episode, except that Scott Gimple said on one of the interviews that he did, I don't think he said it on Talking Dead because I don't remember him saying it, but that one of the things that I kind of talk about in the episode, or that I will talk about, is how the saviors seemed to be kind of like useless when it came to the walkers. And supposedly the thought there is that they are used to dealing with people and bullying them around, and they haven't had to deal too much with walkers. That's his explanation. I think that's kind of bull, but whatever.
Kind of sounds like an excuse.
It does. All right. Speaking of excuses. We are going into ratings, and I'm just going to get them all out now and say,
are you kidding me?
Ratings are not good. For the first time in, well, since season 2, The Walking Dead has dipped under 9 million. Now, last week I said that there was going to be a pretty good chance that it would dip under 10 for the first time, you know, in years. And it not only did that, but it dipped under 9 million. So it got a 3.99 in the 18 to 49, with 8.923 million. That compares with last week's 5.03 and 11.439 million. And going back, looking at the ratings charts that you see on the show notes, Ruthie, this is the lowest ratings that the show has gotten since Shane, ironically, since he said there were a bunch of stories on the news, since he died. So episode 12 of season 2, Better Angels. That's how far back you have to go for ratings this bad. Now, of course, Compared to other TV shows, The Rings are pretty, still pretty solid, but it's dropped quite a bit.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think for a lot of reasons, but, one thing of note, that on Sunday was the World Series and Sunday Night Football. So it did have some stiff competition. But aside from that, you know, I think a lot of the luster has, rubbed off on this show. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't watching live anymore. And, you know, it's been around for 8 seasons. It was bound to happen. And, you know, last season was tough, as you know. And I think some people, got out of the habit of watching and haven't gotten back on. So we'll see if ratings improve as the season goes on, but it wasn't very encouraging to me.
Mm. Yep.
All right. Well, Talking Dead got a 1.4 in the 18 to 49 with 3.246 million. Now, it both is way lower and higher than last week, because last week, the marathon 2-hour Talking Dead was split up into hour one and hour two in the ratings. So last week it got a 2.08 in the first hour with 4.895 million, and then got at 11 o'clock 1.27 and 3.152 million. So ironically, though, still quite a bit better ratings than Fear the Walking Dead was getting. So I guess that puts it a little bit into perspective. Mm. So some news. I'm holding back something of news, and I guess it's also something of this episode for later in the feedback section when it gets discussed. But from news from this podcast, this is episode 65, and we did, our first episode was episode 0, and we've had 34 episodes of Fear the Walking Dead talk through, which, if you wonder why we numbered them differently, it's because originally they were going to be two separate podcasts on two separate feeds, and that didn't end up happening, and instead we have the weird naming convention or numbering convention. But anyway, that adds up to 100. I never used that sound effect, but I thought it was appropriate this week. Now, of course, Ruthie, you haven't been on all 100, but, and I haven't either. I was on, there was one episode I wasn't on, the episode with, when you interviewed, what's his name? Vincent Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, other than saying, hey, here's the interview. but yeah, so 100 episodes. Congrats. We've been doing this for 3 years now. So it's our fourth season of covering Walking Dead. So
yeah, I wish that Fear the Walking Dead were better so that I could also be in the 100 episode category, but unfortunately it's not.
Oh, really?
I just don't like it. I haven't seen, I don't know.
When did you stop?
The last episode that I watched, it's not that I have stopped. I just put it on hold.
Trickled. It's trickled.
Indefinitely. The last episode that I saw was episode 10. I think.
Okay.
Or
was that from the part two of the mid-season premiere? Because there were two episodes that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 9 and 10. The mid-season premiere.
I can tell you it got better.
Yeah.
It did.
I'm sure that's true, but when September rolled around, I had lots of other things that I would rather have watched. So that's kind of what I watched. instead.
Well,
I don't know. I don't, honestly, at this point in time, you say it gets better, but gets better for who and how and in what way? Because for me, there's not really that much that they can do to make it better, honestly, because I just kind of, I don't know, like you said, the thrill is gone. I mean, they killed off my favorite character, even though Travis wasn't really, I mean, my favorite actor. I didn't really care for Travis, but, you know.
Yeah.
Now that he's gone, I don't have any real reason to watch because I'm all about Cliff Curtis. As I think I made abundantly clear.
Well, I will say that the reception that we got for the season finale was, you know, it did get high ratings all across the board, and it was insane. They did something on that show that this show has never done. So,
well, at some point in time, I'll probably watch it. I just make no promises about when that might be.
Understood. All right. Well, so we didn't really get to talk about last week. So anything you want to say before we get started on this episode about last week?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. Well, it is time to talk about this episode. So what did you think of The Damned?
You mean like my rating?
Your rating.
That's such a hard question to answer. I would say probably like a 6.75.
Okay.
Something. I don't have a clever something. I just
6.5. I don't have 7.5. I don't have a clever something. That works. All right. Well, I enjoyed last week's episode and I enjoyed this week's episode, but I was trying to figure out what the heck to rate it. And I don't think I would give it as high rating. But it's still pretty high, so I guess I would give it a 9.25. Walking Dead Deep Cuts! Morales style.
Wow, you're going to do that all episode, huh?
No, I'm done. That's the last one. Or 9.25 PP Pants City. Literally.
Yeah, no kidding.
Gonna be PP Pants City here real soon.
Oh.
Literally.
That's not really a low rating, in case you didn't know.
No, it was lower than last week.
Oh, well, 9.25 is still not really what I would say is low.
I didn't say my rating was low. I said it was lower.
Oh.
All right. Well, we have some ratings from our listeners. You want to give PB and Zane's?
Yep. She says, I rated 8 Morgans I Don't Die.
That was kind of popular, actually. Cheryl gave it 9 out of 10 Morgan Kills, which is kind of funny. Morgans I Don't Die versus Morgan Kills.
Dieta gives the episode 9 out of 10 all out war episodes in your face.
Malika also gives it 8.754321 out of 10 I Don't Dies.
And Lara gives it 8 out of 10 Unexpected Returns.
All right. Well, now it is time for Awesome Sauce. And it's been a long time since I play that, and it actually goes back to you, the originator of that. All right. Let's see. We have PB and Zane. I'll read the first one. She says, Daryl, Daryl, and more Daryl. Just kidding. It was right at the beginning when Negan's guys are guarding the doors, and then bang, blood on the windows. That was cool. Also, when Mara realized why there was no need for the gang to move in and attack. Walkers. Good one there. Yeah, I started getting the idea of what they were trying to do just before that. But anyway, I have more to say about Mara. Anyway.
Okay. Cheryl says, Awesome Sauce is Morales coming from the past to shake Rick's psyche.
Yes, definitely. And she had more about this in her, that I put in her feedback. So yeah, for me, this was the number one Awesome Sauce. I did not see this one coming. And as soon as he showed up, remembering that it said a familiar face, Rick sees a familiar face in the description. Like, I should have thought of him. Especially even this talk about a crossover character. I mean, that puts him back on the market for a potential crossover character, although I don't think it should be him.
Where did he say he was going in season one?
He said he was going to family. He said that he had family in Birmingham. So he was going, 2 hours west? I think Birmingham is 2 hours west from, 2 hours west in a normal situation from Atlanta. So
I thought Birmingham was in Alabama.
It is. It is. But it's, you know, narrow length states. So even though it's in the next state, it's not that far away. Mm. Anyway, I should have seen it coming. And I guess he had tweeted a couple of things. I think, what's his name? Juan Perea. It's the actor who plays Morales. Said something like, you know, see you on the flip side or something like that. And, people were kind of like, oh, he's coming back. And he was. So.
All right. You're next.
All right. Well, Dieta, she says, Morgan becoming the equalizer after being presumed dead. That scene was awesome. Two guns in hand, coming around corners, dropping saviors left and right. I agree with Tara. Why are they not ending the saviors? Jesus got it all wrong. The saviors are not going to make nice with Rick's people, and they are not going to go away quietly into the night. Kill them all! And to that I say, okay, Governor. Because, of course, that's what he was famous to say. Kill them all! That's worth discussing, I think. Do you think they should be killing all the saviors, or do you think Jesus is right and they should take prisoners?
I don't think Jesus is right, but I don't necessarily think that Tara is either, because, well, I feel like, I mean, I have more about this written down for
all right
discussion, but I can talk about it now if you want to, because I felt like this was, well, I don't want to, somebody else talked about it too, and I don't want to.
Let's table it. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. We got Malika.
Malika says, Morgan surviving for now, plus his ruthless cleansing of his pathway out of the sanctuary building. I agree.
Yeah, he was a stone cold killer. All right. Laura, who I don't think you had a chance to listen to it, obviously. But she was on our season finale for Fear, and she did an awesome job, as I knew she would, because she was very active during Fear. Anyway, she said, Shiva and Ezekiel, I want one. I guess she means the lion or tiger, I mean.
Maybe.
I think so. I know Ezekiel is a character, but for some reason, I love him. So much more than Negan.
Should be talking about Ezekiel.
Maybe she is.
You'll have to clarify for us.
Yeah. Some of what she's saying definitely does seem like Ezekiel, because then she says, maybe it's his meta self-awareness that his persona is an act. Fake it till you make it, baby. But one he finds necessary to lead his people. And I imagine Negan is the same, but he is completely brought into this persona of himself.
Persona.
And what bad can be said of the amazing Shiva? I mean, we all know that Ezekiel is just rubbing down the saviors with tuna fish. So she knows which bad guys to attack, right? That's good.
Yep.
Well, you know, originally, and I don't know if you remember, Ruthie, but I wasn't, especially in that first episode, I wasn't keen on Ezekiel, but I gotta say, I really like his character now. He is one of my favorites, and it is because of that, you know, that persona. I mean, we know that he's just playing a role, but he does it with such zeal and confidence, you know, that
Panache.
Yeah. And yet we see, you know, those little moments with Carol where he, you know, turns down the facade. And, you know, even then, even with him not, you know, playing that role, you got to relate to him, you know, because I think he's right in that role. I mean, I wouldn't play like a king like he does, but if you're going to inspire your people, you've got to play the role of being someone who's inspiring. So I think he's got the right idea. And, you know, I like how he rules the kingdom. And, you know, I've said it before. I think if I was going to be anywhere, I think I'd want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I do know. I mean, there's a reason why they say heavy is the head that wears the crown, because it's a lot of responsibility. And he realizes that, and he knows that there are things that he has to do that he doesn't necessarily like. Even if you don't feel into it or whatever, you still have to be into it, so that because people are counting on you and looking to you for, you know, I was going to say support, but guidance and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
I've always liked Ezekiel. So, you know.
Yes. And I'm right there with you now. I wasn't always there, but
good. It's about time.
I've been there for a while, but I think especially, you know, I did a season 7 rewatch prior to the season starting. And yeah, I'm really big on Ezekiel now. Which brings us to our own awesome Sasai. So what you got?
Terminator Morgan. That's what I called him. That's what he looked like to me. I was like, man, he's just like the Terminator.
Yeah. Did he get shot, or like, did he just like get knocked out when they shot him? Because I didn't really see any injuries.
I think he pulled a, oh, what's his name? Samuel L. Jackson's character from Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
He and, yeah. Well, I know that. Oh gosh, I'm sucking with names tonight. John Travolta's character's name was Jules, wasn't it? Or was Jules Samuel L. Jackson?
Jules was Samuel Jackson, I think.
Okay.
I think Travolta was Vinny Vega.
Vincent Vega,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I thought of. I was like, man, it's like Vincent Vega and Jules right before they went to the diner. Anyway, yeah, I have no idea. To answer your question, whether or not he got hit and got knocked down, or just got knocked down because of the people around him got hit and like their kind of blowback or whatever. Also,
yeah,
I don't know. Kind of like when Glenn fell off the dumpster because old dude shot himself, which still doesn't really make any sense. But anyway,
Nicholas,
that's right.
All right. Well, my first awesome sauce is at the end of the cold open when Mara, you know, has this idea that something's not right, and it gets proven by Aaron and the gang just suddenly, you know, driving up with those armored cars and just shooting up a ton of bullets. That was really cool. So that was my first awesome sauce.
Yeah. That was interesting. I had no idea what her name was, for one thing. So I just called her that cocky chick. Because my next awesome sauce was when the cocky chick realizes the danger and gets her neck ripped out. She's like, oh. It's like the light bulb went off, but it was too late.
And that couldn't have happened to a better person.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because she was a bit of a douche nozzle.
Yep.
Speaking of douche nozzles, my second awesome sauce, and this is going to be in perpetuity until they show up again. No trash people. So that's going to be an awesome sauce until they show up, because I can't stand them. And, you know, it's been months and months, and I still can't stand them.
I can't stand them either, but I have to admit I was a little disappointed that they didn't, like I said last season, that they didn't go straight to the dump and take them out. That's what I think they should have done, but they didn't ask me, so.
Maybe that will still happen.
They got it wrong.
Of course.
Well, it's not, they can't, I mean, I feel like they should have done it first, so it's too late for that now.
Maybe they'll do a flashback, and that's what we'll see. Before this plan, they wiped them out. I doubt it, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure that's going to happen, but I don't know. I'm still mad about it, so.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. Do you have anything else for awesome sauce?
No, not really.
There's certain things that I don't know if you could call it awesome. But I liked, from a story perspective, the twist. And that was, you know, Rick encounters this guy and, you know, they start fighting and, you know, and the guy looked like a doppelganger of Rick, at first. But he starts choking him out and, you know, he's getting, you know, asking the question of, you know, where are the guns? And he's like, no guns. And you have to kind of wonder, well, dude, why didn't you just explain that you had a kid there? You know, say something about it, but you know, he gets killed and, he finds Gracie. And I thought that was a really awesome plot twist. You know, obviously, like I say, not a feel good thing. But just from a story perspective, it was something that I completely didn't see coming. And makes me also think, I might as well mention that now, I'm thinking that Daryl found the guns because, you know, they separate and we don't see him again. And I have to think that probably while Rick is going through this stuff, Daryl ends up finding the guns. Either that or... Dwight's intel for this, which Rick said that, you know, his intel has been spot on, was incorrect. But, you know, that's a pretty grievous error to make. You know, well, it's not it's not guns that they're protecting. It's a kid, you know?
Yeah. Or he could have been set up.
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been one of those like things that they do with actually they do it in to on various movies and TV, you know, with plot leaks, they'll throw out these, you know, fake scripts and things like that. I think Game of Thrones has had to do that before. And, you know, if one gets leaked out, they figure out where the leak came from. based on this whatever got leaked.
Yep. You disseminate different pieces of information. Whatever piece of information you find out got leaked, then you know who the leak is. I don't think Negan's smart enough for that, though.
I know, when Steve Jobs was still around, they used to do that as well with like iPhones and things like that. They would leak out stuff and, you know, figure out who, you know, which one comes out, and that person would get fired. So, all right. Well, that's all I've got. So that means it's time for
You're Worthless and Weak.
Weak sauce. All right. Well, first weak sauce is from PB and Zane, also known as Judy. She says, weak sauce, too much of Ezekiel speechifying. I'm over him on that point anyway. Well, look at that. See, that's the opposite opinion that we've had over Ezekiel.
Yep. I didn't mind his speechifying.
No, I like it. You know, I mean, if he was doing it every episode and, you know, every time that you saw him, it would get a little old, but, you know, it's still kind of it's like Negan was, especially in, you know, last season. It's like, you know, his strutting around and his, you know, lean back and the way he talked was getting a little old. And if Ezekiel was doing that much, it would get old too. But for me, it hasn't gotten old. All right.
Okay. Cheryl says, lame sauce is even after Jesus got tricked by the peeing savior, he still took mercy on the rest. I'm Team Tara on this one. What will Rick say about that? Where are they going to put all of the POWs? And if you start collecting too many, it will be a problem. Seriously. This is the exact thought that I had. What's the plan here, Jesus? What are you going to do with that guy?
Yeah, and that's my issue with it, too, is that, yes, you know, I do see the potential for POWs and prisoners, but where are you going to put them all? You know, it's not like they have some kind of, you know, prison, ironically, or jail to put everyone in. They don't, you know, they don't have that. So,
yeah, they don't have any cells they can lock them all in.
They have one cell.
No,
and
yeah, they have no way to secure them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have one cell, which you're not going to put that many people in one stinking cell, you're just asking for trouble.
They won't all fit for one thing.
Definitely not.
Not in the cell that Morgan made anyway. Like a drunk tank maybe, but.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
Morgan didn't make a drunk tank.
No, he didn't. And I think, you know, in that cell, like it could house more than one person, but.
Sure.
Yeah, but not, you couldn't handle that many people in that little cell, you know, for even like a couple of hours, much less, you know, a couple of months or however long this war is going to go.
Well, not to mention the logistics of it, feeding them, you know, taking care of pee breaks and the like. I mean, just.
Yeah. Speaking of pee breaks, what is it with the saviors and pee?
I don't know, man. They're all just 12-year-old bullies.
Seems like they're always talking about pee. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right. Dieta's next. She says, weak sauce, Rick showing remorse for killing that guy who was with the baby. Why? Did Negan or his people care about Maggie losing the father of her child, Glenn, or that Maggie could possibly lose her baby? No, they were hell-bent on making them pay. And did they care about Negan cutting off Carl's hand or killing Rick, leaving Carl and Judith parentless? No. Rick needs to stay strong and remember what they have been through and lost dealing with the psycho Negan. Well, what do you think that he was showing remorse for? Do you think it was for killing the guy, or was it that you know, he found the baby. Because I thought it was the latter. I thought it was because, like, I don't think he, you know, had remorse for killing the guy, because the guy was fighting back and he wasn't explaining himself, you know, which, quite like I said earlier, it's like, if you're in a fight for your life and you're trying to protect a baby, I would say, I give up. I protect, you know, I'm trying to protect a baby. There's a baby here. Please don't kill me, you know, and please don't kill the baby. But he didn't do that. So, you know, he got what was coming. But, you know, I thought it was kind of really sad that there was a baby.
To me, I feel like, I don't know. It kind of seemed like to me, Rick was kind of like, well, crap. You know, like I just killed some baby's daddy or whatever, that kind of a thing. Not necessarily that he regretted killing the guy, just that the child no longer has a father, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But to me, I think the issue there, I mean, the issue could have been, I have no idea. I can't remember right now where I heard this said or who said it or whatever. But someone somewhere said the problem with appealing to someone's better nature or whatever, or good side or better angels or whatever, is that they may not have one, or they may not have any.
Yeah.
Or it might not be there. So, I mean, just because someone says, please don't kill me, I have a baby, doesn't mean that the person that you're pleading to is going to give a crap. Now, we know that Rick is that kind of person, that he would, but I don't know. That seems like a plausible explanation for the reason why the guy might not have said anything, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. All right. Why don't you take Malika's?
Okay, Malika, her weak sauce is Ezekiel's speeches, but she gives an awesome sauce for Carol's facial expressions when he spoke.
Yeah, especially the last time he spoke, she had a big smile on her face. But earlier she gave, you know, like a, oh, geez, kind of like reminded me of the first Kingdom episode when, you know, she said to Morgan, you know, are you shitting me? So, oh, by the way, I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently, on AMC, they're allowed to swear now. So we haven't had any curses yet, but, supposedly they can do 2 per season.
Mm.
All right. Well, Laura's next, and you know, you missed this, but I prepared something special for, Laura when she was on, because she likes to call weak sauce lame sauce. So I had to play for her this.
That sounds awesome.
No, it's lame. Everything's lame.
So that is the alternate for weak sauce, which is lame sauce. So she says, Jesus and Tara. First of all, with a couple of smirky smiley faces or emojis. First of all, Tara was not even this bloodthirsty after Denise died. Now she's found a flight jacket and combat boots, and she's become the Punisher. That's funny. But really, her and Jesus are going to stand there, within reach, by the way, of an enemy, and have a moral debate while he has time to plan his next move? They didn't have to kill him. Just shoot him in the shoulder or side to incapacitate him. That's a good point. Just ask Daryl or Rick. Those things heal right up. Yeah, they've gotten hit enough times on this.
It depends on if you're a main character. If you're a main character, it heals right up.
Yeah, however, Tobin.
You could be in the infirmary for a while.
Yeah,
or dead.
Yeah, Tobin, on the other hand, who got shot that way.
Yeah, he might die.
He might die. You know, they'll hit a you know, main vein or, you know, some artery, and that's it for Tobin. Anyway, getting back to this, they could learn a thing or two from Daniel Salazar. Shoot first, ask questions never. Looks like Morgan knows that, though. Yikes. Morgan has two settings, extreme pacifism or extreme violence. And I think I may have said this last week. Like, Morgan, when it comes to that kind of stuff, and again, I don't mean to offend anybody because I know that this is like a mental health condition, but he seems very bipolar or what's the other borderline personality disorder. Both of them go to extremes, and it almost seems like Morgan, he has no fade switch. It's either on or off. So he's either an extreme pacifist, as Laura was saying, or he kills everything, you know, because when we see him in Clear, that's what he was doing. He was killing. He wasn't just killing walkers. What it meant to Clear to him was walkers, people. He kills them. He mentions this in Here's Not Here to Eastman. You know, so he just doesn't have any kind of like I say, some, there's no gray area for him. It's either all of one or none. So,
yep.
All right. Do you have any? Sorry.
Because I have things to say about what she said about Tara and Jesus.
Oh, let's hear it.
I agree. I mean, I couldn't agree more. If I could agree more than 100%, I would. But since I can't, I'll just say me too. I don't know where this suddenly, what did she say? The Punisher, Tara the Punisher has come from, but she's right. She was not this gung-ho right after Denise died. Maybe she was just in shock or mourning or whatever, and now it's kicked in and she wants revenge. Fine, whatever. But I feel like they should have prepared for these contingencies before standing in front of someone. I mean, did it not cross anyone's mind that one of the, I don't know what you call them, not worker people could possibly be posing as a worker? I kind of felt like it's foolhardy to not have planned for that, and naive, to be honest. And I mean, did they have any kind of plan for how to, like, what to do while you're trying to figure out if this person is one of the people that you are fighting against? I mean, I don't even know if they had a conversation about we're not going to kill the workers. I mean, that seems like a smart idea, but then how, what's your plan for telling the difference? You know, I mean, and like we've already talked about a little bit, what are they going to do with them once they capture them? It just seems like they were very ill prepared for this kind of a situation. And like Laura said, why are they having this conversation now? It seems like this should have been a conversation that they should have had prior to this situation, instead of let's pause here and discuss the efficacy of, I don't know. I thought, that was just so, I didn't like it.
Well, I gotta say, I 150%, since you said that, agree with you. And you make incredible, awesome points there, because, they should have, if this plan was so intricate and well thought out, well, obviously it wasn't well thought out, because they should have asked the question, well, what do you do if they surrender? And it seems like they never really thought of that question. Like, they thought, oh, well, they're going to fight to the death. But no, especially when you're dealing with outposts, you know, they may not be, you know, the
100% savior.
Yeah. And they, you know, like, I think we talked about this before, like, you know, a farm system, you know, like, how would a group like the Hilltop become, you know, graduate to the outpost, to be an outpost? Like, at some, there has to be some kind of progression there, I would think, or, you know, it's not really realistic. So I would think that, you know, at the outposts, they were probably conquered and, you know, the people that were there became, you know, workers for the saviors. And then, you know, they turned and became, you know, more than that. That just stands to reason to me. So, but anyway, the point being that, they should have had that completely worked out. Like, what do they do? And again, you know, what do they do when they encounter these people? So anyway, you already said all that. So I 100% agree with you, but,
I mean, it's not even that I disagree with Jesus or his position on it. Like, I don't necessarily think that he's wrong. I just feel like this is something that you should have talked about beforehand.
Yeah.
This is not the place to have this fight or conversation. I mean, you're kind of sending mixed messages. And now that guy thinks I'm not going to shoot you no matter what. So I'm safe.
Yeah.
So now you've basically given away your power. And for what?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, when it comes to Jesus, you know, I think the main thing with Jesus is that, you know, Jesus saves. Because Jesus doesn't want to kill. Jesus just wants to reform the saviors. I have been looking for a Jesus jingle for a very long time, and I finally found one this week. anyway, but it's also worth saying, you know, when they first come into the satellite station, he killed more people than Tara did, you know? So, I mean, it's not cut and dried with him. I guess he just had a crisis of conscience.
Well, like he said, the guy was surrendering. I mean, there's a difference between in the heat of the moment, going in hot and taking people out, and then when you have a chance to think about it, having second thoughts, basically, about the situation. And like he said, the guy was unarmed. He was supposedly, it appeared, surrendering. He had his hands up. He's like, I'm not going to shoot a guy with his hands up. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough situation, and I can say from the safety of my couch, oh, I would have just shot him. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I've never been in a kill or be killed situation, so I can't exactly say how I would react. I know how I think I would react, but I can't say for sure.
Well, it is definitely a difficult situation that they're in, and I get it. And you know, when you think about it, like in war, you know, it's usually not a situation where everyone is, you know, kill. It's like people do surrender in war. This is a thing, but the problem that you know, they don't have places to put them.
People surrender in war, but people also trick you.
Oh, and yeah.
Use children as soldiers and, you know.
War is hell.
Those kinds of awful things. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. So I don't know.
All right. Unless you've got more to say about what Laura had to say, do you have any other weak sauce?
I do. I don't really understand this weird artistic crap that they're doing. I don't get it. Like, I don't really like it, to be honest. It's not working for me.
It's not working that well for me either. I mean, that's like, I don't understand why they don't just tell the story from a more conventional way. And, you know, I mean, this was, yeah, I gave it a pretty high score last week, and maybe that was just out of being so happy the show was back. But, you know, watching it again, it's like, you know, why are they mixing up with these timelines and, you know, like leaving so many things unexplained? You know, and even the thing with the dead, you know, like letting the Savior's dead, you know, pick up the rest of them. You know, they left that carrot out there for a long time before we finally realized what they're talking about. But I mean, they didn't really have to do that. And at the same time, they've also got, you know, like we see four different, war stories, I guess, going on. And, we know where some of them are, but we don't know where all of them are. And, it's just, I don't know. It's so, they're making it confusing. And I don't know why. It's almost like they're writing this story for binge watching instead of watching it for week to week or writing it for week to week. And I don't think that works well. You know, they're not a Netflix series. They are a week to week cable series. And I think that that's how they should be telling the story.
I don't know. Honestly, I spent most of the episode kind of confused about what was happening, what was going on. I hated the cold open. I thought this is drama for drama's sake, not because it's doing anything for the story. I just kind of was like, what are you doing? Why these? I don't know. Like, sometimes they take chances and I like it, and sometimes they don't. And this is one of the times where, or sometimes I don't like it, and this is one of the times where I didn't like it.
Yeah.
At all.
All right. Well, my first weak sauce, and I hinted at it before, is the weak death of Mara. And, you know, you've got this, you know, tough ass, you know, rather rude person, at the start. And, you know, you think that she's capable, at least, and she does seem to be at first. And then, you know, she realizes that she, you know, that why they didn't all, you know, march in, and, you know, she realizes it, and, you know, a walker comes in, and she is completely ineffective in trying to save herself. It was just I had a hard time believing that she would just, I don't know. It wasn't very, realistic to me for her to really not put up much of a fight. I don't know.
I think she just kind of got taken by surprise, and I don't know. I was fine with it. I didn't really care. I didn't like her, so I didn't care what kind of death she got.
Well, I definitely didn't like her.
If I don't like a character, I usually don't need for them to have a respectable death. Just like, eh, whatever.
Well, what's your next weak sauce?
There were parts that felt very predictable, like Eric being shot. Who didn't see that coming down Main Street?
Nobody.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. If anyone didn't see that one coming, you haven't been paying attention. Cause I mean, they've been hinting at it for a long time. And
well, from the moment he was like, I'll go, I was like, oh, he's going to get shot or dead or something.
Yeah. And, you know, I assume that he's going to be dead by next episode. He may not, but
yeah, I was gonna say maybe. Honestly, it feels like the only reason he got shot is so that Aaron would be in a predicament, which is kind of sad for Eric. But you know, I guess you perform the part that the script tells you to. So
yeah. Do you have any more weak sauce? I think I do have one, but I have to think about it.
No, I don't have any more.
Okay. Then in that case, we will move on to Mr. Simon and our feedback segment.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
I think that's still my favorite bumper that we have. All right. Why don't you give Judy
Okay, she says, okay, was not my favorite episode ever. Just way too much of the same thing over and over. Shoot stuff, look around. Shoot more stuff, look around. I did like Shiva's rescue again, but they will need to make them different in the future if they are going to keep using the tiger. What they could do, I don't know. Didn't one of you guys predict the guy from season one returning in the podcast from last week? Have to wait and see where that goes. A new baby on set? Will Judith get jealous? LOL.
I think Morales came up a couple of times. I know for a fact Laura mentioned him in the finale of Fear. And I think Ben might have mentioned it last week. And then, you know, I mentioned it before about there's been this idea about him being the crossover character. And, you know, but if you think about it, it's like, how the heck would he get from Atlanta over to Birmingham and then probably continue going west to Houston or the border or whatever and meet up with Madison or whoever else, and then end up back in the back in Virginia,
back on the East Coast. Yeah, yeah. No, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that would be insane. So I don't know. It just seems crazy. Unless, you know, we find out by the end of the season that Madison is there and she transitions over to being a character on the show.
Oh, gosh. I will rage quit Walking Dead. I'm not even kidding if she shows up.
Now, here's a thing I was holding back. So, about the baby on the set. Now, the question that I would have is, do you think Rick is going to go back and take Gracie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an article that was, I mentioned it on the Facebook group, or should I say there was an article. I'll fix that. There's an article that I posted on the Facebook group earlier this week that mentions a point that I did not pick up at all. So whoever found this, very astute of them. But we see in the last episode, you know, that girl, and she's carrying a bunny, and in the bed or in the crib of Gracie is the same bunny. So stuffed bunny, obviously. So it makes you ask the question, was that little girl actually Gracie and not Judith? Has Judith died in the future? Or is she still alive, maybe? That does, to me, explain why Rick had aged so much, because, you know, that would obviously add another 2 or 3 years to the time frame if it was, in fact, Gracie and not Judith. But, yeah, I don't know. Do you think it could have been Gracie that we saw last episode?
I don't know. Not really. I think it's nice to speculate, but I don't think that that's plausible based on a stuffed animal that there could be multiple of. I mean,
true.
Surely that's not the only stuffed bunny on the planet.
Yeah, and you know, he could have taken Gracie and they're just sharing the stuffed bunny. Who knows? But
I don't think it's crazy.
All right. We will find out, hopefully, at some point, an answer. Next is Cheryl. She says, and these were a couple of points that had to do with things I think she gave in her Awesome Sauce and Weak Sauce. So regarding Morgan, she says, I thought he was ticked off when he opened his eyes from playing dead. Then he was all over the Savior shooting to kill. And then she says, regarding Morales, will this detract Rick from killing or will baby Gracie? So I guess the question there is, you know, is he going to he gonna start second guessing himself because of the baby?
I don't know.
And how do you think this Morales thing's gonna work out? I mean, is he gonna be friendly to Rick, or
obviously not?
Doesn't seem like it, not at the start. How long has he been with the Saviors?
I don't know. I don't really know anything about. I don't. Honestly, I didn't really like it that Morales showed up. Nope. I was like, we've done this before, and it was with Morgan, and Morgan did it better. Sorry.
I completely agree with you. Morales was. I mean, to me, he was this character that, you know, went off. And there's some realism there. I mean, because that would actually happen. You would say goodbye to people and never see them again in the apocalypse. Hell, it happens now. So, you know, bringing him back. And, you know, another one was Merle. You know, Merle came back. So now we see this again. And, you know, after this, I think the only one that kind of fits this bill is Heath. And now that his show has been canceled, mm-hmm. he'll probably be back at some point.
Well, see, that made more sense, though, Merle showing up again, because they were still in the same area. Now, they're not even in Georgia anymore.
I agree.
It just seems so implausible, and I don't know. I didn't really like it. I was like, okay, we're doing this, I guess.
Yeah, I'm reserving judgment. I didn't love it. I thought it was.
It feels like a plot device to me.
It does. Just
make Rick question, not because it's serving the story, but it's like dumping a van off of a bridge nose first and having it land on its wheels. That's what we're doing here. It feels like. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we had two surprises with Rick. The first was the baby. And the second was Morales. And I thought the baby was much more effective than Morales. Morales was just like, you know, what the hell are you doing there? How'd you get here?
Obviously, Morales knows about Rick. So Morales isn't surprised. And I don't know. I feel like at this point in time, this is when I should go on my rant about all you people who say that if we had been following the Saviors group, then we would think that they were the good guys. And if, you know, when Rick came along, we would think that they were the bad guys. I disagree, and I can't disagree more, because Rick's group, I've said this before and I will say it again, Rick's group doesn't go around trying to oppress people and take their stuff and just basically subjugate them and marry multiple women and be top dog, high on the heap, blah, blah, blah kind of crap, the way that Negan is. Negan might seem like a good guy, but I mean, I don't know the crap that he's been through, but it's not like Rick hasn't been through crap, and he still managed to come out not being a complete amoral douchebag, you know, like it appears that Negan is. I mean, yeah, he sometimes displays character traits that appear as though he cares about people, but you'll never get me to believe that Negan actually cares about people and that he actually is concerned about the welfare of the people that he's in charge of. Not the way that Ezekiel does, not the way that Rick does. So no, I don't think that if the roles were reversed, we would think that Rick, I mean, we might think Rick is the bad guy because we had been following Negan, but I would not be watching Negan and think, yeah, he's a good guy. I don't understand that line of thought. And this to me feels like a situation just to make him question or something. I don't even know, because it just doesn't make any sense to me why he's suddenly here. Because, like I said, he obviously knows about Rick because, I mean, I would think that he knows about Rick because everybody knows about Rick, it seems like. Maybe Morales isn't a one of Negan's guys or whatever. Maybe he's just one of the workers or something. But, I mean, he had a gun and he didn't have a shirt with an A on it. So, I don't know.
He had to have been one of the guys. And I'm guessing.
That's what I was thinking. And so how did he, like, what happened to him that he became like this? That's my other question. Like, I don't understand what would, he didn't seem like that kind of person back in season one, but.
Stay tuned for the 90-minute episode where we go to his backstory.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, they better not. I don't know. I tend to think that, he got credit, you know, at the end of the show. And, you know, maybe he will get credit, screen credit now that we know that he's there. More prominent in this week's credits, but I don't know what the purpose of it is. I agree with you 100% that it's just out of left field. Doesn't seem to be necessary. You would think that he would be supplying some intel about Rick, give Negan something that he could use against Rick. Mind you, he didn't know him for that long, but he knew him and he knew, you know, something about him. So I would tend to think
they parted on good terms and he knew it. I feel like he knew enough about him, about his character starting out. And I mean, I've said this before, but there are only three kinds of people in the world: people who don't do bad things because they just don't do bad things, people who don't do bad things because they're afraid of getting caught, and people who do bad things regardless. And this kind of world brings out people who don't do bad things just because they're afraid of getting caught. Well, now there's no one to catch them, so they can do all the bad things they want. And you can tell when they just spending the amount of time that they did with them that Rick's not that kind of person. So I don't feel like your character, yes, you can go through bad things and that can shape your character, but at the point that Rick is in his life, I don't feel like the bad things would change him fundamentally.
And Morales, at least when we part ways with him, he seemed like a pretty stand-up guy himself, you
mm-hmm.
know? Which I'm surprised. I was gonna grab this clip and I didn't have a chance, but I'm surprised he didn't, you know, call him Helicopter Boy.
Helicopter Boy?
Yeah, when they end up at the quarry and, you know, Rick, or he goes to introduce Rick to the people at the quarry, and, you know, he of course sees Carl and Lori, and of course Shane. Before Rick sees them, he says, "Hey, Helicopter Boy, come out here." Because of course he called him that because Rick kept claiming in the previous episode that he saw a helicopter, and none of them believed him. So he called him Helicopter Boy. All right, who's next? Is it you?
Okay. Dieta says, "I need to rewatch as well was trying to watch the Lions football game. I should have just watched TWD. I guess the Lions didn't do very well or something. Maybe they would have won. But anyway, I digress. I'm not going to have time to do a rewatch. So here goes. Nonstop action, keeping you on the edge of your seat. Morales is back and he's with the Saviors. His return is going to be short. Rick is going to kill him. In my opinion, Tara is right. Anybody who supported the Saviors terrorizing and killing people should be discontinued permanently." The Ezekiel speeches kept me laughing. Carol kept giving him side looks, which was even funnier. Daryl seeing the room he was kept in. Yep, he is going to kill Dwight. I don't know that that was necessarily his room.
It wasn't. Because his room was at the sanctuary, and this was at
One of the outposts,
yeah.
The satellite dish outpost.
Well, no, it wasn't, because Daryl was at this office building. So,
I don't even know where they were. I was so confused for most of this episode, honestly.
I figured out, and this, I think, took a few viewings to figure out, but there were, you know, four stories going on, four war stories. And what we had, Morgan, Tara and Jesus at the satellite station. You had, who knows where Ezekiel's people were, but they weren't even at an outpost. They were on their way to going to an outpost, it seemed. So we don't know where they were, but we do know that where, Aaron and, you know, most, what looked like mostly, you know, the third string Alexandrians, you know, like Francine, who I kind of miss that character. I'm sorry she's gone. I always liked her. They just never featured her much. Anyway, wherever they were, I guess that was an outpost that was close to another outpost where Rick and Daryl were.
See, I thought Rick and Daryl were at the same place as Tara and Jesus.
No. They were at some kind of office building because we saw them go into the, there was something, I'd say, in the first 10 minutes or something, like first act, where we see them, they're in like an area near an elevator, and it's like they mentioned office building specifically. And I'm thinking, based on what was said, that there was a walkie-talkie from the two guys that get popped in the head, you know, that are outside the door, and Mara, and they said that they could hear the shots, and I assume that they were saying that they could hear the shots being fired from a distance at that outpost, and this other office building was another outpost close by, like, you know, maybe a couple miles away or something. So, you know, and whether or not, you know, there are other outposts, we don't know, but that was how I figured out what was going on. So, I don't think they were at the same, like Aaron and those guys, I don't think they were at the same outpost, but they were at a nearby one.
I will take your word for it because I certainly didn't have any idea.
Yeah. So what Daryl saw was a room like that at this office building. It wasn't the same one, but it certainly reminded him of it and was very similar.
Yeah.
All right. Our last bit of feedback, unless, do you have anything else you want to say about Dietas?
I think that, again, you would have to be, I think Jesus is correct in, not wanting to harm the people who are basically slave labor for the saviors, because those people could potentially be allies. However, the other people are not potential allies. I mean, you can set up a slave revolt, so to speak, and get those people to help you, the people that are being oppressed, subjugated, whatever. But again, it's really hard to tell who's who and what's what and who's worth saving and all that kind of stuff. I don't know that based on that, I guess I would say go with, Daniel Salazar's method of shoot first and don't worry about the questions.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that they can convert the workers, but it's a really difficult thing. The only thing I could see is if, you know, these guys, provide intel. I mean, if they provide intel, if they, you know, surrender and they say, look, we'll give you this information and it proves out correct, then okay, you can believe them. But otherwise, you know, what are you going to do with those people? Nothing. And I agree with your point about feeding them. They're also a tax on your resources. So
your limited resources.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of limited resources, what the hell's with all the bullets? I mean, Jesus. You would think at this point that bullets were, you know, a very rare commodity, and yet the number of bullets that they've shot in the first two episodes is mind-boggling. Yeah.
Well, go big or go home, I guess.
I guess. But it's like they dropped that whole, you know, story with Eugene, you know, making bullets. And I don't know why, because that was something I wanted to see. Instead, they've decided, oh, we're just going to have unlimited bullets.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the guns make their bullets. A bullet replicator. Anyway, last bit of feedback is from Malika. She says, it was sad to see Morales as a savior. Perhaps he did it to save himself and or his family. I felt like Rick did when he found that baby in the crib. I kept thinking, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. Oh, and Morgan doesn't die. Or will he? Did he sign his death warrant by saying that? I wondered that myself. And then she says, he just cannot be a Goonie because we know what Goonies never say.
Goonies never say die.
Yeah. I actually found this one to get me more on the edge of my seat, more than last week's premiere. I also found it more entertaining as well. I like the direction this season is going.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I don't think he did it to save his family. I have to think that Morales' family's long gone. So,
yeah. Maybe that has made him become embittered, and that's why he's there. I don't know. I have no idea. But honestly, I don't really care. I mean, that was 8 years ago. I'm surprised that people even remember who he is.
I think they remember who he is from going back and watching the show, you know.
Well, from people telling you, this is Morales. Oh. I don't know. Just kind of, I don't know.
All right. Well, that's the end of our feedback. So do you have any additional points that you wanted to bring up?
Why do you think Morgan said, I don't die?
Because he literally thinks that he won't die, because it goes back to what he said in Clear. He said that, you know, the good people die and the bad people do too, but the weak people, you know, they live. And I always disagreed with that point, because I've seen a lot of weak people die.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
At all.
And I think he said it because he believes it's a curse that he, you know, he's destined to have to live and, you know, suffer through all of it because of, you know, what happened with his wife and his kid, which, you know, I don't know. It does seem kind of wacky.
I feel like he should have killed that douchey savior anyway, honestly, regardless of what Jesus had to say, because he shot, what's his face?
Yeah.
Kid, I can't remember his name.
He shot Ben.
Ben. Yeah. That's right. He shot Ben. And even though it was, oh gosh, my brain is not working. What is that guy's name that he killed, the kingdom guy, after Ben died?
Oh.
He didn't confess.
Richard.
Yes. Gosh. All of these names are just gone from my head right now. Even though Richard was, I think, responsible for setting it in motion, that guy still shot Ben, and Ben died because of it. So I was really disappointed by him just walking up and sticking the gun in his chest and then not doing anything, basically becoming impotent. You know, what was the purpose of that? Why did he even I don't know. I just...
Well, I think he was going to kill him, and Jesus stopped him because, you know, Jesus...
He was going to kill him, and he should have. He shouldn't have let anybody talk him out of it. He should have just walked up to him. But the thing is, he hesitated before Jesus even said anything.
Yeah.
Because all of the other people that he came up to, did he hesitate for any of them? No, he did not. He just walked up to him, blam, blam, ooh, turn the corner, blam, ooh, there's another guy, blam. I mean, it was just blam, blam, left and right, blam. And then when he comes to the guy who deserves to get blammoed, he doesn't do anything.
And
why? Because the script told him not to. This irritates me. I'm like, come on. You're being contradictory, and I don't like it. I don't like it when people act contrary to how, I mean, literally how he was just acting.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, what's the purpose of that? Why? Again, he hesitated before Jesus even said anything to him. So why? Why would you do that? I don't know. I just feel like there has to be a reason. It's going to be a dumb reason, and it's probably going to piss me off. And I just don't understand why he didn't blow that guy away. You know, of all the people in that place, that guy was probably the one guy who really did deserve it.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I mean, what
aside
the heck?
From the pee-pee pants guy.
Yeah, pee-pee pants guy. And what kind of guy intentionally even tries to pee himself? I mean, it's just pour some water on your pants.
I mean, I know, right? Well, I guess then you wouldn't have the yellow urine puddle there, but ew.
The thing that got me, and his, the character's name is Jared, I remember. But mm-hmm. Jared...
I just called him douchebag, I think. I don't know what I called him. It was not...
That's also accurate, so... So I'll call him douchebag for the rest of the time. So
long-haired douchebag.
Yeah. Yeah, the
long-haired hippie douchebag.
Yeah, the anti-Jesus. So he comes there, you know, he's like, hey, I know you. And then he says, were you transferred to?
I know, like, we're not friends, dude.
What the hell does he mean by it? Are you transferred?
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't make any sense either. Like I said, there were a lot of things in this episode that just did not make any sense to me. Like, who are Ezekiel and Carol chasing? And I feel like I missed something. I'm like, did something happen that I forgot about in the previous episode? Because all it shows is them, like, coming to from a blast or something. And suddenly they're chasing someone.
The guy...
Who are they chasing? Why are they chasing him? I mean, I kind of figured out why they were chasing him, but who are they chasing?
Well, supposedly they're chasing this guy. If he gets away, he will foil their plans. You know, they will know that they're coming, which by the end of the episode, they know that they're coming anyway. So,
but who is he? How are we supposed to figure that out?
Well, the only thing I can figure out from that was that they were the guy dropped the grenade and got away, and they were trying to get him so that he wouldn't, you know, let them.
So he wouldn't tattle. Sure, yeah. I get that. But what, did I miss him blowing the grenade or something? All it showed was Carol and Ezekiel, like, on the ground or something. Carol was on the ground. There was smoke all around. And I thought, what is going on? And it was never really explained, at least not to my satisfaction.
Yeah, and they didn't really show that guy very well. I mean,
they didn't. Was, I mean, to me, they could be chasing a ghost, except for it was a ghost that bleeds. Okay, but, I mean, what? That's one of the reasons why I marked it down. I was like, yeah, I get what you're doing, and I get why you're chasing him, but again, who's that guy?
Grenade guy. Yeah.
How do we know that he threw a grenade? Because even that wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been like a, what do you call it? Not a flash bomb, but what's the...
Flash grenade.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem to be much more than that, because I didn't see much destruction. It just seemed to be like smoke everywhere, you know?
Well, I didn't see anything. I mean, where's the smoke could have been from a fire. I thought that was so dumb. I was like, man, yeah, okay, just please figure out what you need to explain when you're telling a story and what you don't have to spell out. I mean, I can only extrapolate so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, other than the Ezekiel Carroll moments in that story, and I got to say, also, Jerry using that battle axe, that's cool. But I thought that that was probably the weakest of the four story elements. And I thought the strongest was up until the point that you were saying, I'd say the strongest was Morgan. You know, especially when he turned into Terminator Morgan there. Mm-hmm. That was way cool. And I enjoyed, you know, the action of the episode, but like I said, I think the story could have been better told by just making it a little more straightforward. I mean, like, when's the last time you saw an artsy action film?
Oh gosh, it was Mission Impossible 2, and I still hate it.
That had Thandie Newton in it, didn't it?
Yeah, she was great. That movie sucked ass.
Yeah, I remember it.
I hated it. Oh, I'd rather not talk about it anymore.
All right. Do you have anything else?
Nope. I talked about everything else.
Yeah.
Already.
I think I'm pretty much talked out at this point. It's been a rough week for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it has been for you. So let's wrap things up to say that to submit your feedback to us, there are many different ways. The main network way is to go to goldenspowermedia.com/feedback. And that's typically how we get our voicemails when they come in. Because you can submit them there, or you can submit audio and text. Sorry. You can submit text there or audio. And there's also a SpeakPipe widget, which on the Star Trek podcast, we finally got some feedback came in that way. There's also the phone number for the voicemail, and that's at 304-837-2278. Make sure that you specify you're leaving feedback for The Walking Dead Talk Through. Most people give their feedback through our wonderful Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And if you're not a member, Enid says,
are you serious?
And I don't know if you've seen this, but we've been experimenting using our Gmail account for feedback, and we've gotten a little bit that way. So that's at walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. And we did extend the feedback a couple of days this week because Ruthie being ill. And I really wanted to make sure we did the episode with Ruthie this time. Our deadline is usually Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. Don't forget about the fall back this weekend. So,
oh, thank goodness.
I need it too. So
I need it because I can't handle it when it's so dark in the morning. I don't like it when it's dark at night, but when it's dark in the morning, I have a hard time functioning as well because I just can't. It throws off my time frame. Like, it's still dark. I think I still have all this time. I don't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll just continue doing this.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I figured you'd appreciate that. You can also reach us through Twitter, like Ken from Chicago does. Mm-hmm. And he's given us some really good tweets lately. His Twitter.
He's at Ken from Chicago.
He's at Ken from Chicago. But anyway, our Twitter is Walking Dead GSM. And one of the best ways to support us is by subscribing to us in your favorite podcast app. Of course, Apple Podcasts is out there, and that's one of the few places where you can leave a rating or review. You can also do that in Stitcher too, but I don't normally see much in there. But it has been a very long time since the end of April since we've gotten any reviews from iTunes or Apple Podcasts. So I challenge you guys, give us a rating and or review. We'd appreciate it. And if you're going to give us a lousy review, at least give us something constructive. One way you can get to that is, and all of the other Golden Spower Media podcasts, is go to goldenspowermedia.com/Apple. And other ways to support us is, can be at goldenspowermedia.com/support. And this is a good place to mention it because I didn't mention it before. A bit of news on my other podcast, found out today that the Star Trek Discovery podcast is the exclusive podcast for the TV Time app. Hmm. So
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that podcast has been going great. Ruthie, I would have loved to have done it with you. And at some point I want to get you on as a guest. But my co-host Adam, who I used to work with, actually, things been going great on there. So, if you haven't checked us out, that's at, you can find us at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. Or simply go to Golden's Power Media and you'll find us there too. So our next episode is season 8, episode 3, which is titled Monsters, which I think that came up sometime during the episode, the word monsters. We don't know who it's written by, as for whatever reason, they never tell us anymore, but it is written by, or sorry, not written. It is directed by executive producer and many time director of this show, Greg Nicotero, special effects and makeup wizard he is. The description is: conflict with the saviors leads to unintended consequences for the hilltop, the kingdom, and Alexandria. Morality proves tricky in wartime.
Hmm. So it does.
And that seems like, you know, many of the things that we see at the end of that episode, the baby and the prisoners and all of that, those have to be the unintended consequences. And I don't know. I'm worrying more and more at this point, especially when they mention the hilltop, about Judith. That was one thing Ben brought up last episode, and the more I think about it, the more I think that she could die this season. I'd hate to see it, but... Mm. And this is it for this episode, but until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And this is
The Walking Dead Talk-Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Join the Scarlet Cougar and X-Force 11 as they shine the bat signal on the Fox TV show Gotham. Karen and Jeff discuss the story and characters, break down the Batman universe, and share their knowledge of the mythos every week on Gotham Undercover.
We love to get our community involved as our undercover agents. Please find us by going to the following places.
You can search for Gotham Undercover on Facebook, tweet us at Gotham GSM on Twitter, find us at goldenspiralmedia.com, and email us at gotham@goldenspiralmedia.com.
Don't forget, you can listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, we'd love to get you to rate and review the show.
And now we'll turn you back to your regularly scheduled GSM podcast. But we'll see you on Gotham Undercover. Same bat time, same bat podcast.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.